Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in my home studio, recording far, far away from my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Matt.
How are you?
I'm in my sister's childhood bedroom, which always is a very humbling place to be because for those who are watching these videos, you'll see there's like posters of, you know, Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, Bob Dylan. It's a very cool place to be. And it's just a nice reminder that I fully had a Legolas shrine and Lord of the Rings shrine, actual shrine. In my childhood bedroom. So I'm just feeling uncool and great. How about you? How are you doing?
Why are you in your sister's bedroom and not your own?
Oh, because my parents turned it into my dad's office / TV room. Which one would you transform into a different room?
It's true. It's true. I would want to wipe out all memory of you. I'm fine. I just feel like my allergies have been acting up this week.
All over the place.
Because, yeah, I'm back in that mode where I'm like, am I dying? Is it COVID? Is it allergies? You know, there's no way of knowing. I definitely think it's allergies because I got tested for COVID and it was negative. The point is, I feel like either I have like a tumor growing in my head.
Oh, good. Great.
Or, I just have some swollen, you know, everything is affected by allergies. So I've been snorting some Flonase and we're just going to take it day by day and see if I make it. Which one of these times it's going to not be funny because I'll like actually be dying. But
until then, it's hilarious.
We'll see. What is happening on today's episode? Well, we're going to kick things off, as always, with Worst Things First, where I chat about the stupidest, most ridiculous worst news of the week. After that, we're diving deep into how the Olympics really aren't that impressive to me, okay? Oh, so you can run fast and skateboard good? Well, I can sit on my couch until I get bed sores. So who's the real champion? It's not someone who's been training their whole life. I'll tell you that. And finally, we have got repeat guest complainers, Tracy Clayton and Josh Gwynn on the pod. Tracy and Josh are the co-hosts of our sister podcast, Back Issue. They just launched their second season, so obviously we had to bring them back into the complaining hot seat to find out what's getting on their nerves these days. We bitch about handshakes, kangaroos, dating shows, so much more. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right, horse things first. Let's chat about the worst news of the week. First, a man in Florida,
only in Florida,
was injured after he climbed over a barrier at a Jacksonville Zoo, got too close to a jaguar enclosure,
okay,
and got attacked.
Oh, good, 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 good. I just, not to victim blame, but I think it was this man's fault.
I mean, it feels like if you're violating the very obvious borders that are set up to protect you from literal jungle cats, then yeah, you're asking for it. I'll victim blame. Were you asking for it? Were you begging for it?
Did you cover yourself in a meat smell? Yes, because you're human and you are prey.
In his defense, I don't like jaguars, mostly because I don't know quite how to pronounce it. Jaguar.
A jaguar.
Does it rhyme with like Toby Maguire? Is that how you're supposed to say jaguar? I mean, this is an actual question.
I don't think so. I've never once questioned how to pronounce jaguar.
Jaguar.
But now that I'm
like,
saying it.
Rhymes with like mar, real bro.
Wow, you're really incredible at rhyming.
Yeah, that's why I am in a rap battle every week.
Yes, would pay to see that.
Anyway, jaguars, not a fan. But this guy, he was hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries. From the sound of it, okay, so he climbed over this waist-high safety barrier, mm-hmm. which waist-high, you know, unless he's 8 feet tall and his waist is, you know, 6 feet off the ground, that's the proportions of a human being.
Definitely.
Waist-high doesn't necessarily seem high enough to protect people.
Absolutely not. I believe that big cats famously jump high.
But so there was a waist-high barrier and then like mm-hmm. 4 feet of empty space and then the actual fence. So this was just like the pre-barrier.
Okay.
He climbed over that and then started putting his shit through the fence, the actual fence, and taunting the jaguar. And yeah, obviously, it didn't like that. Shockingly.
I'm nervous just like going to pet my friend's cat.
Yeah. Remember when your dog viciously attacked me just because I was trying to get a Kleenex?
You need to calm down. That is not
this
what happened.
Version of that.
Okay.
And yeah, just like this man, I nearly ended up in the hospital. So the jaguar, he was a 12-year-old jaguar.
Oh my God.
Named Harry. Zoo officials said that Harry was just doing what fucking big cats do. They don't expect that they're going to have to do anything to him. Although they did confirm that Harry was involved in a fight that left another jaguar dead last year.
Oh, so, shit.
You know, perhaps even more reason not to antagonize this particular cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't understand. Like, yeah, I don't want to interact with any cat, let alone one that weighs like 1,200 pounds and could kill me with the flick of its wrist. What are you doing? I don't understand the desire. It's like that girl at Brookfield Zoo when we were children who fell all the way into the ape enclosure, and some say she still lives there to this day.
Shiro.
I don't understand. Keep your muggy paws out of the animal cages. This is why zoos, I don't fuck with them unless I feel like it that day. Anyway, shout out to Harry. He was just doing his part. Next, bird scientists who are studying the behavior of cockatoos in Australia observed that the birds not only learned how to use their beaks to open trash bins, but managed to teach other cockatoos how to do the same thing.
Birdwatch 2021.
Okay, evolution.
Yeah, according to the research, so in early 2018, basically this Australian scientist, bird scientist, was like, these birds be opening trash bins.
Okay.
That's the way he phrased it.
That was written up in the report.
And then he was like, how did they learn how to do this? So he started following them around like some kind of creep. Watching birds, literally
following
Tom around garbage men as they were picking up trash and then watching the birds collect around him. And in early 2018, found that there were like three suburbs of Sydney that had birds that had mastered dumpster diving, essentially. Okay. By the end of 2019, so just a year later, they were doing this in 44 suburbs.
Damn.
So from three suburbs to 44 suburbs in a year, which means they're fucking learning from each other. They're coming for all of us. Nobody is safe. First, it's just, they can open up a latch on the top of a garbage can. And then next, you know, they're unlocking your front door.
Oh, yeah. Completely robbing you dry.
Right. Take, you know, unbuttoning your pants when you least expect it.
They're going to all birds just start pantsing everyone as a fun prank.
Sure. You can imagine it in the innocent way of pantsing or in the more diabolical way.
Yeah, well, I don't really want to think about birds assaulting me. Thank you very much.
Unhappy Hour is here to prepare you for the worst, okay? I'm not going to prepare you for the, you know, listen, I would love to be pantsed by a prankster bird. You don't think I would love that? Bring it on. If a chicken came up to me and whipped down my pants, I would love that. Revel in it, even. But if they take it any further than that, we're going to have a problem. Also, yeah, according to the researchers, they realized that the vast majority of the birds opening the garbage bins were males.
Typical male.
And they tended to be dominant in social hierarchies, which suggests that if you're more socially connected, you have more opportunities to observe and acquire new behavior.
So, sounds like the patriarchy just hitting those birds.
Yeah, that goes to show if you want to learn skills in society, be a man, and a popular one. And finally, I love this story. A 60-year-old woman in London, do you ever heard of it?
Wow.
Was sentenced to 5.5 years in prison after she was found guilty of swapping $5.7 million worth of diamonds for 7 pebbles at a luxury jewelry store. Honestly, Shiro. The fact that she got 5.5 years in prison for stealing up almost $6 million is kind of impressive. So she is a Shiro. So yeah, this woman whose name is Lulu.
Amazing.
She was apparently part of an international gang that fled to France after stealing these diamonds from a shop called Boodles.
Okay. Getting a lot of London. Ocean's 8 vibes in here.
Yeah. I don't want to be mean, but she does look like the witch from Hansel and Gretel.
Wow, really, really strong of you to insult a person who's currently in prison who is a part of an international gang.
Yeah, I have nothing but respect for them. By the way, I consider the witch and Hansel and Gretel to be the hero of that story. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, you have two kids who are just stealing candy that's not theirs. Yeah, cook them up. Put them right in the oven. That's what I say. In the days leading up to the heist, the gang held a whole bunch of meetings at Boodles.
I'm sorry, Boodles, you can't be a luxury place that has millions of dollars worth of jewelry and then call yourself Boodles.
Yeah. I mean, the only place you could get away with that is London.
Yeah.
Boodles. Yeah, but I don't know. I would expect a more luxurious sounding name.
Yeah.
So in the days leading up to the heist, they had several meetings with Boodles pretending to represent this Russian investor who is looking to purchase diamonds.
Sure.
And Lulu posed as an expert named Anna, who was there to value the diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, I guess they inspected them. After they were done inspecting them, they were individually wrapped, placed in a locked bag that was supposed to be put in the vault until payment was received. But then the next day, one of the Boodles experts was like, I don't know, something fishy was going on with them. So he x-rayed the bag and found that the diamonds had been replaced by 7 pebbles. And then security camera footage revealed that apparently Lulu had created a distraction, swapped the bags, and passed the diamonds off to someone else. And what ended up in the vault was a bag full of pebbles. So, yeah, and then she got on a train and went to France. The diamonds, though, still not been found. They're still out there in the world. So good
there
for
you
her.
Go. Yeah.
The fact that, she only got 5.5 years in prison for successfully robbing a luxury store. Pretty amazing. And that's it for this week's Worst Things First. If you want to hear and see even more stories that were cut from this week's episode, and there's a lot of good ones this week, you can head to my Patreon, patreon.com/MattBellassai. Last week, we had laser shooting drones in Dubai that we talked about. That is up on the Patreon, as well as the extended interview with our guest complainer. So go subscribe on Patreon. It supports me, it supports the show, and it's great. Next, we're diving deep into why I'm actually way more impressive than an Olympic gold medalist. And no, I will not be taking questions at this time.
Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive,
deep dive,
deep dive, deep dive.
Well, if you haven't noticed, we're in the middle of an Olympics right now. Did you know this?
Barely, honestly.
It does feel a little more like the Hunger Games than usual, I would say, this year. Because, we're just kind of cheering for a bunch of hot people to skip and jump around while the world burns around us.
Sure.
But they look like they're having fun. So good for them. But let's be real. These Olympians, they're getting a little bit too much attention. It's like, chill, okay? Just because you're objectively the hottest people in the world and you've been training your entire life for this moment and you're capable of things that if I even think about, I'll injure myself, that doesn't mean that you're better than me, okay? So these are all the reasons why Olympians aren't even all that great, okay?
Yeah.
Unless you're like one of the ones that I love and you would like to come on this podcast.
Previous guest complainer, Adam Rippon.
Yeah, always welcome on this podcast, Adam Rippon. Okay, first, it just seems a little arbitrary that we decided that these are the tasks that should measure peak human performance. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you can run 100 yards in 2 seconds or whatever. How fast can you cancel your cable service? That's what I would like to know. Answer all those questions. Why don't you convince a customer service representative that you're actually dead? Because that takes skill, okay? That's way more challenging than running fast in a straight line, I would say. I've been on the phone with a Verizon representative for the past 7 hours. Could fucking Michael Phelps do that? I don't think so. Can you survive as a bouncer for one night at an all-ages club popular among 17-year-olds? That's a challenge. That's a challenge.
That is a nightmare.
Can you be a waiter and take an order at a table for 12 people without writing everything down? I don't think so. Ryan Lochte? He could barely write his own name.
Whoa.
Remember when he staged his own kidnapping and we were like, okay.
Yes. Some might say more impressive than the actual sport he participated
in. Yeah, honestly, I would have staging your own kidnapping as an Olympic sport more than half of the sports. There are some types of skills that we should be measuring. But no, we just have to watch people twirl some ribbons around and throw some heavy balls and expect to be pleased by that. Would they get a primetime coverage? Bob Costas? It's going to say their name. Is he still a presenter? That's the only thing I know.
I have no idea.
Anyway, at the very least, I'm just saying I think all Olympians should have to wear the diving Speedos.
Yeah.
Make the ping pong players wear Speedos. Let's just make it even across the board. Everybody has to wear the smallest garment known to man. That seems fair to me.
Yeah.
For real, though, shout out to the homosexual that designed those Speedos, because they truly were like, we're going to absolutely use the least amount of fabric we can get away with before the dick is just fully visible.
Doing God's work.
They deserve a gold medal.
Absolutely.
That should be an Olympic sport. How do we get Tom Daley in the smallest possible outfit? Next! Also, the Olympics are just kind of all over the place, athletically speaking, to begin with.
Hard agree. I don't understand. When did we get all of these categories?
I don't know. I was reading through some of them in preparation. I don't understand. How are table tennis and equestrian dressage in the same competition? You have horse dancing and ping pong that are all, both of these people are getting Olympic medals.
Both of these things are things that you do on a night out in Jersey. You hit up Medieval Times and then you go to the bar and you play some ping pong. Those things shouldn't both then be in the Olympics.
Yeah, we're giving the same shiny medals to people who win the modern pentathlon as we give to people who win badminton. That does not seem fair. There should be tiers, okay? There needs to be a daytime creative arts Emmys for the Olympics. Like, listen, we respect your craft, but this is the big leagues, okay? You should get not as good of a medal. I don't know. I didn't look up, actually. I didn't realize that every country, well, a lot of countries offer, like, cash prize. Like, you win money.
What?
If you place on the podium.
Is this the Amazing Race?
So yeah, like in the U.S., I don't think the U.S. has the most. I don't know. But yeah, you win money if you medal in your event. And I don't think the like badminton champions should get the same amount of money as the pentathlon winner.
I think you're right. If we're going to be really doing competitions, it should be a competition.
Yeah. That's what should happen is all the gold medal winners from each sport should have to fight one another.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, you won at archery. Now you have to beat the shit out of someone who's a weightlifter. That's who the real champion is. I'm also just not impressed by anything you can take performance enhancing drugs to get better at. Not that they do.
Oh, no, never, never.
I know that they're all screened or whatever.
I would love to see the Olympics where all of the athletes are just stoned and wasted.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite Olympic tweets of all time is the one that was like, we just need a guy to run, like to do everything as the kind of control group.
Yes.
So it's like, let's see how fast just like Dave can run. Also, being hot and good at sports, it's not good enough. It's, you know, how about are you hot, good at sports, and willing to show your asshole on Instagram? That is the question we should be asking of our modern athletes. I'm sick of these athletes who are just in it for gold medals. What happened to doing it to be a sex symbol? What happened to being naked on the cover of a box of cereal? Total Wheaties. They don't do it like they used to.
They sure don't.
Next! Some of these other sports, too, they just don't belong in the Olympics. I'm sorry. Like, shooting a gun is an Olympic sport, apparently.
What?
Shooting is an entire category of Olympic sports. You're not an athlete. You're just from a former Confederate state, okay? And yeah, if the zombie apocalypse happened and I had to choose an Olympic athlete to defend me, I'd probably pick the person who is good at guns and not the one who is good at jumping in, water all fancy-like. But still, this is not a zombie apocalypse competition. It's Olympics.
Again, would watch the zombie apocalypse competition.
Yeah.
That sounds way better.
I'm like, sorry, but golf? Not an Olympic sport. I mean, it is, but it shouldn't be. Not to demean any of these hardworking golfers who have trained their bodies for years, okay, pushing themselves to absolute athletic extremes. But golfers don't even carry their own shit. What kind of Olympic athlete has an assistant whose job it is to literally carry their shit from hole to hole?
You know who deserves some gold medals? Any of those assistants.
Yeah.
They are doing more work.
Give it to the
ball
boys.
They are dealing with those people. Yeah, exactly.
What are they called? Caddies?
Caddies, yeah.
Which is also the name for the actual like bag. They don't even distinguish between those two things. You are interchangeable. That's lazy.
I feel the same way about the ball boys and girls in tennis, like at Wimbledon. They take their job so goddamn seriously, and I love it.
Yeah. You have to run, fetch that ball, and get to the sidelines as quickly as possible, or you'll die.
I could never do that job. It looks extremely stressful.
I would like to be the person whose job it is to yell at the ball boy if they don't do it fast enough.
Yes.
If you linger for even a second, I'll beat your ass. Finally! I just think if we're giving out gold medals to people at the top of their game physically, we should also be giving gold medals to people at the other end of the spectrum.
Yes.
Being on a couch for 72 hours straight with minimal muscle activity, that requires skill. Okay? I deserve a medal for going the longest amount of time without emptying the garbage can.
Yeah.
Balancing that tower of trash without it toppling over. That's Olympic gold medal worthy.
That's strategy.
A medal for not washing my sheets for months at a time?
Ew.
You think an Olympic athlete could stand one night in my bed? Absolutely not. These are the skills that we should be honoring, and I won't sleep until the International Olympic Committee acknowledges the existence of the athleticism required to do the tasks of my daily life, okay? And that is it for this week's deep dive. Next, we got Tracy and Josh on the pod right after this commercial break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
My guest complainers today, podcasting nobility, okay? Repeat guest complainers. We've had them on the show plenty of times, and they are back again. It's the Back Issue team. Back Issue, of course, is a show that looks at pop culture moments that we all think we remember and asks what they can teach us about where we are now. Okay, we have four-time guest complainer and podcast host extraordinaire, Tracy Clayton.
Co-host and lead producer
of Back Issue. And, of course, former Unhappy Hour intern producer, Josh Gwynn.
Yay!
Welcome back, Tracy and Josh.
Hi, Matt.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, that was the most exhausting intro. You guys have so many credits.
You did a really good job.
I need to take a deep breath after that. I mean, we were talking before the mics started rolling about this week. We're recording on a Friday. This week has been, I don't know, just exhausting. The energy, the vibes are off this week.
I haven't enjoyed it. I don't like it. I'm not having fun, like, in general with this week.
Mercury is definitely in microbraid. Or Gatorade.
Is it really?
One of them.
Like according to the maps and stuff and the charts.
I can't confirm or deny because I don't, you know, every time I see someone on Twitter kind of say that, you know, the moon is mad, I clock it away, but I have no idea if we're currently in one of those moments. So
let's
there's
just
no,
assume we are. Probably.
Yeah,
I'm sure we are.
Like it
feels like we have been for the last couple of years at least. Well, you both know how this goes. We start with, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves?
I've been thinking a lot about, like, you know, the world's been closing and opening and closing and opening and closing and opening. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, so out of practice of being a human being. Like, what do you do when you meet someone that you're friends with and with your hands? Like, because I feel like a lot of people, usually, like, people go in for hugs or people give each other high fives and stuff. The thing that I hate that everyone seems to want to do is shake my hand. I hate handshakes.
Yeah. I did get, I experienced my first where I went for a handshake and the person was like, I'm not doing a handshake.
Wow. I feel like that tide is turning.
Yeah. And then, like, 3 minutes later, I saw them hug someone else. So,
that's personal.
It felt personal.
Yeah, that's what I hate about handshakes. They're a power struggle. Like, it's always like, I remember growing up and people being like, your handshake says who you are. And, like, look them in the eye. And, like, I just, it's 9 a.m. Like, why do I have to feel like I'm in a fencing class or something? Like, this is not, I'm not talking to royalty. Like, this shouldn't be a power struggle.
Right. I have an uncle who every time, it was like, he's one of those uncles who you see, like, once a year. It's like Thanksgiving.
Uncle Stanley.
And he would always make an effort to squeeze my hand as hard as possible to the point where, like, I could feel my knuckles, like, pressing together.
And it's,
and it's like, no. What,
Stanley? Like,
plus,
I've seen you once
family.
This year. Like, what is wrong with you? What are you trying to accomplish?
You don't shake family's hands. It's too formal for your family.
Right. Well, that was the type of relationship we had. We had a handshake relationship.
Very formal.
But of course, you know, as the gay cousin, I was always I had a very limp handshake. And he made a point to, like, teach me how to have a strong handshake. And I never appreciated it.
I think
a lot of
queer kids have this, like, rite of passage where they're like, oh, the way that I'm handshaking is wrong? Like, who decided that there's a right way to handshake someone? Like, that's so weird.
Straight white men needed something else to feel special about. Handshake.
Boop, boop.
I was just listening because the first episode of this season of Back Issue is all about greetings of various forms. And speaking as a white person,
capital H.
I'm very not great at all greetings and handshakes in particular. I'm like, I just, I appreciate, we need to kind of accommodate bowing into American culture, I feel like. I like a good, like, you stand over there, I stand here. We each kind of like nod and oh, bend see, over, yeah. And that's it. Yeah.
Black folks, we've been doing this for years. Like, right. We have the nod.
The nod part.
So, you see
have.
Somebody, you're like, what's up? Like, right, that's great. Right. I don't have to touch anyone.
Yeah.
I don't have to use my hands at all.
Mm-hmm. Tracy, do you have a complaint?
I do. I have several, but this right. one I picked out especially for the occasion. I feel okay. like it's really important, and we're not thinking about it enough. We're not talking about it enough. Kangaroos.
Oh, okay.
You know what? I'm with you.
Was not expecting that.
Why is everybody so chill with kangaroos existing? Have you ever considered a kangaroo, like, in full?
Not in full, but I'm excited okay. to right
Let's
now.
Let's do that now, okay? Mm-hmm. First of all, they're as large as humans. I have got an issue with that. I am not a yeah. particularly tall human, right? Not only that, they can jump. Like,
oh, nar.
Like, they're really good at jumping. That's going to be an issue for me. Right. Also, not only are they the size of adult humans, they look like they've been in prison for at least 5 to 10 years. I have never seen a more muscular animal. Just like, yeah,
they looking
muscular.
Brolic as hell sometimes.
They look like they want to fight all the time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't like they do.
An animal that you could describe as sinewy. Mm-hmm. You know, that horrible word.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's not done being terrible because it has, like, sharp-ass claws and, like, dinosaur talons and shit. What are you? What are mm-hmm. you? Where did you come from? Australia. That's the problem. And then right. another thing that I don't like is, and this, I guess, applies to all marsupials, but the pouch right. thing,
the
I don't like
pocket.
The pouch thing. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I decided this recently, I think, maybe a couple months ago. I was watching some animal documentary, something, and they were showing how tiny kangaroos are when they're born. They're like, itty, 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 bitty. And they show, like, the disgusting little trek they make to get, like, into the pouch. And then, like, they opened up the pouch, and I wanted to throw up everything I'd ever eaten
because
in
you
my
think,
life.
Like, in theory, it sounds cute.
It's, right. It seems like but a furry little it? Onesie. And it's just like, this is the inside of your body.
Yeah.
I don't know you like that shit. It's too much.
I remember being shocked when I first learned that as a child. Because, mm-hmm. you know, all the kangaroo propaganda has exactly. you believing that it's just
big
this
kangaroo.
Cute little pocket
big kangaroo.
That they keep their baby yep. in.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And no, then you learn that that's actually the kind of fold that they mm-hmm. shit the baby into and then it grows inside.
Yeah, yeah. It's unsettling. It's mm-hmm. not cute. They're dangerous just like overall. And I just feel like no. I just feel like we should not when it comes to kangaroos.
That being said, I do wish humans had more kind of body pockets that we could use. I always feel like I probably lose my shit less if I had a place to put stuff that was attached to me at all times. And I mean, you know, we're all thinking the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, right. We are.
I got some pockets, but let's just say that yeah. needs to remain open.
I don't know where to go from here.
I did take it to a dark place.
You know.
But I wholeheartedly agree. Kangaroos have been getting away with shit for too long. And right. They are scary.
And they seem like dicks. Terrifying. They seem like terrible people. They really do. There's this video of this man who was minding his business, right? Parachuting down to the earth after doing some white people shit, like jumping out of an airplane or some shit. I don't remember. But he's got like a camera somewhere on his person, right? So you see him just like gliding down to the earth and out of nowhere, two kangaroos come up popping
oh,
shit
right.
out of nowhere.
I saw that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like... Stop leaving me alone. They're just like, nah, fam, what you doing here? Where you come from? What's
that
up?
That is
what's going
the Australian
on?
Equivalent. We just talked about a story on Happy Hour about a guy who fell off his bike in Florida and then got bit by an alligator. Unrelated
Only
to
in
the
Florida.
Bike accident. He just like fell off his bike and then immediately got attacked by an alligator.
Yeah.
And that is the Australian equivalent. Yeah. Is you land so. After like parasailing and then two
and then
kangaroos beat the shit out of
Florida,
you.
Yeah.
Florida and Australia feel related. I don't know. I can't tell you why.
Florida is the Australia of America.
Yeah. Right. And vice versa.
And vice-a-ma-versa.
So the last episode, we could do a check-in, because the last episode, Tracy, I believe your thing that you hated was cats.
Yeah.
So are you still on the cat-hating train?
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Okay, here's the thing. Yes, but...
Okay.
The older I get, the more I feel like if I were an actual animal, I probably would be a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Upsetting information for me. It's not what I wanted for myself. But I just kind of leave me alone until I need you. Pay attention to me when I need you to do that. Feed me. And then leave me alone to plot how I'm going to kill you. I would agree with that.
I feel similarly of like having kind of cat energy.
Mm.
But I still don't particularly trust them.
Mm-mm.
And no. I still question when people strongly identify as cat people.
Yeah, yeah. See, I am an actual cat, not a cat person.
Right.
I think that's okay. I think it means it's fine. But no, I think I made a cat friend. My friend Nicole has a cat, and this cat has known me for 2-3 years and has only recently started to acknowledge me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that once that happened, I would like feel special, like, oh my gosh, I've been chosen. But I'm just like, I've been here for 2 years. What are you?
Bare minimum.
Right.
This cat has been gaslighting you.
Gaslighting me. That's it. That's exactly it. Then you just won't play out of nowhere, cat. Nope. Not trusting it.
See, whenever I have an interaction like that with a cat, I'm like, this is one of those cats that can like tell I'm about to die. Like it's choosing me because it knows something bad is about to happen. That's the only reason that it's giving me attention. Like horse that went around Twitter this week.
Wait, what? I'm sorry.
There was a horse. I don't know. I guess you hadn't seen. There was a horse at this nursing home. For some reason, they're bringing a fucking horse into a nursing home as like a therapy thing. And it kind of it chooses which room it wants to go into by tapping on the door. And it's kind of like a death horse. But there's this horrific image that accompanies it that is just this horse standing above this like poor old woman lying down in a nursing home bed. And like it doesn't look comforting.
I mean, I feel like if I were in a nursing home and I thought I saw a horse walk into the room, I'd probably give up on life too.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be like it's my time to go.
It's time. I'm seeing horses.
Is this horse predicting death or is it causing death?
Yeah. Right.
I just don't think, we have a kind of facility to take care of elderly people, fragile people. Bringing like a barnyard animal into that environment doesn't seem like a great idea. Not a doctor, but that's my personal hunch.
I'm just like, this horse is tolerating you humans. And if it wanted to fuck some shit up, it could, and you could do nothing about it. And y'all got all these fragile hips and stuff? No, this terrible.
But what
ideas.
If it could talk like Mr. Ed?
Mm-mm.
Well, that would be even worse, I think. I don't.
Because then it could tell you that you're going to die. I don't need that.
Frankly, we don't need more things with opinions. I don't personally.
Very true.
I just don't
Very
feel
true.
Like horses will have good opinions.
Fair.
I mean, you both are pop culture, aficionados. So I figure we can sort of go over some pop culture moments that you've been obsessed with lately or that you've discussed lately. One of which is Sexy Beasts, the television show.
What just happened to Josh?
Did you watch it, Tracy?
No, what is this?
Oh my God, you have to watch the show.
You know it. It is that show where they do up everybody in the most ridiculous like costume makeup.
And then they
you
gave
the
Dolphin Lady a blowhole.
Right.
The
blowhole was too much for
it
me.
It was a
I
lot. They
say.
Didn't need to do all that.
I know.
It was a little suggestive.
But blowhole aside, I should watch the show.
Oh my God. So it's a dating show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there's one main person and then they go on like dates with three people. And then as they get eliminated, you get to find out what they actually look like. So while they're on the dates, you're spending all this time being like, I bet that dude's black. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I did.
Then it's Chet Hanks. Oh, my God.
And then you find out what they look like, and they never look the way that you expect them to. Mm-hmm. It's just really good. And also just like the makeup and prosthetics are really impressive. Like,
as an
really
audience
well
member, so I have yet to watch it. It is on my list. I just need to like set aside a night to get completely stoned out of my mind because
I watch
no
the
way
entire,
I'm watching that sober.
I watched the entire season in one sitting.
What?
Do they show you as an audience member what they look like? Or are you also along for the ride?
You're along for the ride until they get eliminated or until they choose the person that they're going to be with. And then there's this big reveal where they get to see each other for the first time. There's one couple where the the girl picked this one guy and I just felt like she was in too deep. So she just had to pretend that he was good looking. But it's just really, it's really interesting because everyone, you can't tell what anyone looks like until they get eliminated or until they pick them. It's really
right.
good. It's really good.
I have a question. I'm sorry.
Go for it.
How does this compare to that other show? Was it Love is Blind, where the people were like in two different rooms and they fall in love? How does it compare to that?
It's more stupid. Like,
is that with blowholes?
Yeah, it's more fun. It's like campy, like, you know? Like that one, I felt like, didn't Love is Blind come out like right when the pandemic hit? And I was like, this is too close to home. Like, I don't want to experience
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
When's the next time you're ever going to go on a date with somebody that's dressed like a, like the devil with a mustache or like a dolphin? Like, that's wild.
I mean,
my problem with both of those
I don't
shows,
know your life.
You don't. You do not.
This is just how Tracy does dates all the time.
You know? It's my comfort, my security blanket. Just need a big old dolphin head.
My problem with these shows is that all the people are hot in some way. It's like you need to raise the stakes by making some of them super not hot.
Yeah.
Like, you
I
know,
mean, yeah.
It's like if everyone is hot, if you know you're kind of getting a hot person no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. You know,
I agree. More ugly people on dating shows.
Some other moments. Rich people in space.
In almost space. I just want to point that out.
It wasn't even space. It was space light.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Diet Coke of space. The margarine of space.
I'm not quite sure what to make of this. It's just, you know, have fun, I guess.
Right, I guess. The part that got me was when he thanked the Amazon employees. I wanted to figure out a way to step into my television screen like Ring style, but in reverse, and just slap the shit out of that man. Just a good open hand, just like wop, wop-pap.
Yeah, my reality show idea / real life idea is that we need a kind of like undercover boss esque situation where, like, you know, a committee of 20 people at the bottom of the totem pole get to call, they get to decide all of Jeff's life decisions.
Yes, absolutely.
So he shouldn't get to do anything with his money until the committee has decided. Also, his name is Jeff. What a, you know, what kind of name is Jeff?
Exactly. I agree.
what can people expect from season two of Back Issue?
Lots of fighting between me and Josh.
Of course.
Lots of games, I feel like, this season. And I feel like I win a good portion of them. Is that true?
No.
Okay. Well, tune in to find out if I'm right or not, because one of us is not telling the truth.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of we're gonna dive deeper into a lot of like really fun pop cultural moments. We talked about Whitney Houston.
Whitney.
We talked about handshakes and stuff. We dive into like food and nostalgia. It's like a lot of different feelings and memories. And games and interviews. It's really fun.
And lots of laughing. I feel like we laugh a lot anyway.
Lots
but
of joy. It's like
yes.
so exhausting to be alive right
be
now.
Be alive. To have a body on this planet.
We just want
to
have fun. and like sit in like memories that like feel good, you know?
Right. I think it was after you both were on Unhappy Hour last time that you were profiled in the New York Times.
Oh, yes. I do remember
and,
that happening.
I was just rereading it. And yeah, they described you as, you know, like listening to two like siblings watching TV, like kind of going over the stuff, like just kind of like chatting about what you're seeing. And yeah, I mean, that always makes for the best podcast, is when it's just people having fun.
Yeah,
I feel
low
like
pretentiousness.
What me and Tracy would be doing anyway.
Right.
There just happens to be cameras? Yes, cameras.
Yeah.
And microphones.
Cameras, lights.
That's what I was trying to say.
You guys get to sit with us as we like go back and forth on YouTube being like, look at this clip.
Mm-hmm. Remember this? You remember this?
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, change of topic. some tweets that I have questions about.
Gotta go.
Complaining types tweets. Tracy, you had a beef with Chipotle about the state of their chips.
Yo, Chipotle chips are always so stale. I don't know if I've ever. Yes, it's true. It is true. Maybe on the West Coast, Josh, they have like gluten-free, farm-free range chips and some shit. Mm-hmm. But over here, though, yes. Every time I order from Chipotle, I get two extra bags of chips, right? Because I'm like, maybe one will have like five chips in it that's not stale. Mm-hmm. Never works. They're just always so stale. And so, you know what? I got fed up about it. And what does an American do when she's fed up about something? She goes to Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Chipotle, why are your chips always stale?
Did they send you chips?
Yeah, did we get a response?
They were just like, all of our chips are fresh baked every day. Please fill out this quality assessment form. Some bullshit. And I'm like, no, they wanted to know like which branch it was. And I'm like, I ain't come out here to snitch. Like, I just want you to respond to this question. Like, they're always stale. I'm not trying to beat up on my local Chipotle. I'm gonna eat there again. So
Right.
Just
yeah, that
chips.
Is the thing about a fast food complaint, any type of restaurant like that, where it's like, yeah, I'm going to complain about it, but that's not going to stop me.
No, I'll be back.
They know the hold that they have over me.
Exactly. That's why they were like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Right.
Aw.
Yeah, Chipotle. I haven't been to Chipotle in a while. Famously, they once gave me one of those cards where I could get a free burrito every day for like a year.
Did you do it?
And I was too ashamed to use it. I tried. I used it like twice and it was so embarrassing because they swipe the card and you literally watch as it goes down from like $9 to $0. And then the guy, the first time I used it, the guy like kept the card and I was like, oh, I think I'm supposed to get that back. And then it was like a whole ordeal. He had to call someone over and then they were
he did that on purpose. He was hating.
Yeah. And then I realized it prints out a receipt that says you are in the presence of a famous person.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Does it really?
It says like you are in the presence of a celebrity. And that so it's like alerting the Chipotle person to treat you special.
That's a setup. If I'm working at Chipotle and here come your famous ass with a free burrito, I'm mess
like,
with you too.
This is humiliating and I will never do this again. So
they
I enjoyed my like one free burrito bowl and then I never tried it. So, but yes, that being said, Chipotle does, you know, they can get away with whatever. Josh, you tweeted the fact that we lived through a time when people really called other people metrosexual because they what? Showered?
Amazing tweet. Amazing complaint.
Take your time. It's just, do we not expect anything of men? Like,
is this a rhetorical question?
Like, the fact that like men at one point were given a whole nother sexuality because they took care of themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm, because of basic grooming.
Because they showered and did their hair.
And actually, like, washed it.
And part of me feels like it's actually, like, I mean, I kind of feel like it's Queer Eye's fault. Like, I feel like this is around that same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man. Like, This place is awful. I want out. So it wasn't surprising to me like 2 years ago when everybody started admitting that they didn't wash their legs.
I also thought about that yesterday. Like, how do you just walk around the world? Like, how do you feel so okay with this that you're just like, yeah, I'm going to say it out loud where people can hear me?
That's my point. Take your mouth in silence. Why? That would have been the perfect moment to be like, internally, like, oh, other people are doing this. Maybe I should start.
Exactly. Exactly.
The number of times that people are snitching on themselves on Twitter is truly baffling. People, listen, do I have horrible habits that people would be shocked and upset to learn about? Yes. But I keep them to myself.
Right.
And I don't advertise that on Twitter.
There's this sound on TikTok and it's what's that girl from Real Housewives of New Jersey that like threw the table?
Teresa.
Teresa Giudice.
Giudice.
Giudice. Her daughter.
It's waking from up Real Housewives. Yeah.
Waking
thinking
up
about
in the morning.
So many things.
Thinking about so many things.
Just
and people are literally
better.
Using that sound to tell like their biggest L's. Like the biggest things that they're
or
most
like their mom's
about.
Biggest L's. Like,
and I'm just like, why are you doing this? That you also have the option to say nothing.
Right.
Got to get them clicks in or something. Speaking of TikTok and terrible habits in white people, you just reminded me of this one that I saw the other day. And it started off with a clip of a white person in the bathroom, right? Some white girl. She's like, okay, so we all shit in the shower, right?
Wait.
And then it just cuts to a whole bunch of black people going, no, the fuck we don't. 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 I'm just like,
what a premise to start
why
the video
would you?
With.
Why would
I am,
you?
Yikes.
Ew. Shocked.
I hope it was a troll situation. I really could not tell. And it's sad that I could not tell if this was real or not.
Yeah, that is the part now. We've reached that era of the internet where people are, I'm like, are you for real? Or are you right. just trying to make me mad? There was that huge debate, I don't know if you saw this, of whether you should wait 5 minutes before you eat the free bread that they place down on the table at the restaurant. Did
Why?
You see this?
Just because of etiquette?
No.
They were like, I don't know, whoever made this argument was like, you seem desperate and like, you know, you shouldn't come hungry. It's like, you're at a fucking restaurant. Why would you wait?
I'm so angry. This is the most
I shouldn't come hungry
heard.
To a restaurant?
It's
where
like,
I'm here to eat?
If you're that hungry,
I should what
you know.
Do what? Go to a restaurant?
Eat before you go to eat, apparently.
I hate it.
See, I mean,
it.
Like, and if the idea is like making a good impression, like if you think that it's cute to like eat like a bird or whatever,
right.
That's fine. They're going to find out once, like if it goes well, they're going to find out that you actually eat full meals later eventually anyway. So look, I will smoke before, get some munchies going. Maybe I was going to say like run around the block. I don't do that. But I'm going to be like on purpose hungry. First date.
Yeah.
At the restaurant. Because you should just know what you're getting into. And if you got an issue with me and a steak over here, then we're going to be a second date. It's fine.
I need the waiter to put it directly into my mouth. I don't even need to wait. It doesn't have to touch the table. Yeah. I don't understand. If you're meeting someone for dinner, you're there to eat. I don't know. People
it's
have
so arbitrary.
Opinions.
Imagine being ashamed of doing something that your body needs to do to stay alive. Imagine.
Right.
Don't breathe on a date. Boy, something like that. You better breathe before you get there.
That being said, it's not like I'm having a whole lot of success with my method. So, you know, maybe I do have to kind of take notes. But anyway, well, yeah, everybody can listen. Back issue, season one is out everywhere. And season two is happening now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
New episodes every Monday.
Right.
Anyway.
Where can people find each of you?
You can find me on the internet at Brokey McPoverty most places. And you know what? If I'm not Brokey McPoverty there, just leave me alone. Maybe you don't need to find me there. That's all.
You can find me at Regarding Josh. And you can find Back Issue Podcast on Instagram at Back Issue Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Do it. Tell a friend. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us. So much fun to be back.
Another always. Classic Back Issue crossover.
Mm-hmm. The streets love it. I can't wait. Yeah.
And don't fuck with kangaroos.
Oh my gosh. Or Australia.
All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that help all the bad shit go down easier, starting with Do Better White People, where we highlight some anti-racism resources and other actions we can take to make our world a little bit better. Barry, what are we highlighting today?
Today, I wanted to highlight an organization that our wonderful producer Arlene suggested, which is the Black Trans Femmes Artists Collective. It's a community-based arts organization that builds community and mobilizes resources to support Black Trans Femme artists. So they do a bunch of programming, they executive produce projects led by Black Trans Femme artists, and they provide direct support to Black Trans artists. So you can check out more about them. You can donate. You can get a look at what programming they're doing. You can become involved with the actual collective on their website, which we'll link to in our show notes, btfacollective.org.
Beautiful. All right, let's get into the TV we've been watching this week. What have you been watching?
I know I already said it before, but it is definitely worth saying again. I am watching The White Lotus. If you have not started this show, start it now. It's so fucking good. It's on HBO, HBO Max. And I bring up that you should start watching it because it's on a weekly basis. And it's definitely one of those shows that I'm like really happy to be watching weekly and like seeing what people are saying about it and like texting with friends about it. It's so funny and weird and interesting and good. And I'm loving it. So that is what I'm continuing to watch this week.
Same, actually.
Yeah, you watch. I was about to ask what you're watching, but I was curious if you started it or not.
Yeah, I'm all caught up. It's weird because it's like there's not much of a plot. Mm-hmm. It really is just a kind of, I mean, they tease in the first kind of 5 minutes of it that one of these characters will be dead by the end of it, but you don't know who.
There will be a dead body and you don't know how or why. I have some theories, but we'll see.
Yeah. But otherwise, it's just kind of like watching a bunch of ridiculous characters on this kind of spa resort vacation just kind of fall apart in various ways. There is also a fair amount of ass and unfortunately a fair amount of penis that is very jarring, I would say, because the point of it is that it is not a healthy penis. So that is weird. But yeah, it's very entertaining. So, and Jennifer Coolidge, obviously.
Oh my God. She should win a fucking Olympic gold medal.
True. What is your non-TV chaser?
My non-TV chaser is something that I have talked to you about. I don't even know if I've talked about it on the pod before, but I've gotten really into like nightgowns and like beautiful types of pajamas, specifically from a place called Goose.
Uh-huh.
And they make very, I mean, like some of their garments are called the Amy, the Joe, the Felicity. Like it's all after like Little Women and stuff like that. It's very 1800s vibes going on.
Sure.
But in the summer heat, I've just gotten so much joy of instead of putting on a robe, putting on this like white cotton beautiful little nightgown and just walking around my house feeling amazing about myself. I did buy not one but two straw hats. So you know, really just leaning into those cottagecore vibes in a way that truly brings me a lot of joy. So shout out to them. People can't see your face right now, but it is full of judgment, and that's okay.
Yep.
This is what has been bringing me joy.
That is typically what my face is full of.
I know. But to be fair to myself, a lot of my pajamas of the past have been like old shirts that have just been ripped up. And now that I'm like traveling to visit my family and stuff like that, it's nice to have these types of pajamas that are a little more presentable and that make me feel flowy and fun. What about you? What's making you happy this week? What's your non-TV chaser?
I don't know. My chaser, I guess, is just kind of like taking it easy.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, I had a kind of 2 to 3 week period where I was just like you know, getting in too much socialization.
Yeah.
So this week has been a kind of dialing it back a little bit, which has been nice. I mean, Monday was my birthday, also a chaser of mine. And it was like relatively low key, which is what I like.
Yeah, it was super fun.
Because some of us don't spend an entire 3-month period leading up to our birthdays, forcing everybody to celebrate. But yeah, it's been nice to kind of like sit back and relax and wonder if, you know, this pain that I'm feeling is going to consume my entire body.
Oh, good, good, good.
But yeah, highly suggest chilling.
Love to chill.
And that's it for this week's show. So thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. If you want more Unhappy Hour shit, obviously you do, you can head straight to my Patreon page. You'll get video of bonus Worst Things First stories. You'll get video of our extended guest complainer interviews. Also, you'll get an exclusive audio feed that is all of our bonus stuff. So you'll get that right where you listen to your podcasts. Also, you can buy merch at unhappyhourshop.com. Obviously, you can always head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audacy, that's AUDACY. Wherever you get podcasts, hit that subscribe button and then rate us and review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, Arlene Arevalo, and me, Matt Belisai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Hans Yalsu. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Belisai. You can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter and Unhappy Hour on Instagram for all the latest podcast buzz. You can leave a voicemail on our rant hotline at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. Bum, 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 bum,